This is the Big E Sports Show
on the Sports Map Radio Network from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios.
Here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, here we go. Saturday mornings can only mean one thing. It is time for Sports Map Radio Network and the Big E Sports Show. Happy holidays. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell. We love our audience and we love to connect with you. You can always join us. Social media at eRadio Sports, info at eradiosports.com, podcastarena.com. Super excited. It is week 14 of the NFL season and we have scored some big time guests. NFL alum Lajay Dusable will be joining us. Of course, he played in the NFL, defensive lineman and NFL agent with Athletes First. Andre Odom will be joining us here in Hour 1. And as always, my producer, he's simply the best, Jack McCraw, JackMC15. You bet, follow him on Twitter. We've got lots to get into. Let's talk about the Eagles to kick things off, Jack. They made headlines this week by changing things up with their starting quarterback. Hurts, he's going to get the green light. I mean, is this a good thing? What was your reaction when you heard the news?
I mean, to be fair, the Eagles and the Cowboys have been the two most disappointing teams in the NFL this season. And at this point, I think the Eagles are just trying something new. I don't think Carson Wentz's future in Philadelphia is in question, but it's certainly interesting to see what the Eagles are going to do with their second round pick in Jalen Hurts. The Eagles really have nothing else to play for this season. Maybe get a top draft pick and build up, but it's certainly nice to see what that backup quarterback can do for the struggling Eagles.
Okay, Carson Wentz, he just signed an extension last season, but what happens if Jalen Hurts, what if he goes off? What if he like really lights it up? What's going to happen then?
I would say that he would be on the trade market, and I know the perfect team that should pick him up, and that would be the Indianapolis Colts, to pair him up again with Frank Wright and maybe kind of reinvigorate his career, because I don't think Phillip Rivers is going to be back with the Colts next year, considering he's going to be 39 years old and he might want to retire.
What do you think about what's happened with Carson Wentz? I mean, he has always been regarded as one of the top or the premier quarterbacks in the league. Why is he struggling mightily?
I think it has to do with the situation that he's in Philadelphia. He was kind of come in to be the savior of the team, and he did have that MVP season in 2018. As soon as he tore his ACL, he was just not been the same player, and when they won the Super Bowl with Nick Foles, everyone stopped trusting Carson Wentz and kind of wondering, is that Foles Super Bowl or is that Wentz that got them to that point?
Hey, stick around. Much more NFL news and notes coming your way at Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. We will be right back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, welcome back on this Saturday morning. Sports Map Radio Network, sportsmapradio.com, the Big E Sports Show. Many different ways to connect. Always love to hear from our listeners and our audience. We're live on Twitter at eRadio Sports. Info at eradiosports.com. Twice is nice. You can join us and listen to all of our amazing guests at podcastarena.com. And at O'Reilly Auto Parts, you are guaranteed to get the everyday low price on the parts that you need. O'Reilly Auto Parts will match any local auto parts store price on any like item. O'Reilly Auto Parts has the parts you need at the guaranteed lowest prices. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Well, we always love to tee it up and talk some golf. You bet. We love to highlight the PGA Tour. But in our next segment, we're going to recap the 2020 U.S. Women's Open that took place right here in Houston. And we are so delighted to have with us for the very first time. He knows what it takes to win, an 11-time winner on the PGA Tour. We love his analysis on the Golf Channel. And that is the great John Cook. Good morning, John.
Well, good morning. Good morning. Thanks for having me. Well,
let's start off our conversation and talk about the women because it was tremendous. So give us your overall, your general takeaways. I mean, there were so many great stories. These were amazing competitors.
Absolutely. I mean, the ladies had to endure some pretty tough conditions for sure on a very, very difficult golf course. I've played Champions a number of times and Tour Championships. So I knew the golf course and then just watching the elements at the ladies had to battle, and some of the golf shots that they hit were incredible. I mean, it just was fun to watch, and they have stories come out left and right. It really was entertaining, and you kind of held your interest for a long, long time. So that's what major championships are supposed to be, and that's what the USGA wants, is, you know, a test of the mind, body, and soul, and they got it right there at Champions. So, a great week.
You know, John, it was the first women's major in the month of December here in Houston, as we're talking about. They played some very good golf in very tough conditions. You're an 11-time winner on the PGA Tour. So what impresses you the most from the women's game, and how is it different? I mean, I heard a lot of commentators talking about the women's game is more of a finesse game. What does that mean?
Yeah, we've talked a lot about it on different shows. You know, you have strikers, you have hitters. I think that the ladies show more of a striking ability, that they play nice shots. They're very good at controlling their distance because they don't spin the ball quite as much as the guys do. So they have to be able to control, you know, where the ball lands and what the run out is going to be. And they do it so very, very well. You can tell that they have a great feel for the game, that they're almost artists on how they go around the golf course. And it is really, really fun to watch. And, you know, the men's game is, you know, kind of the bomb and gouge, and we get that. That's kind of the way it's gone. You know, some of the best players are learning, you know, a little bit more finesse, but the ladies' game certainly has pretty much top to bottom. You see the artistry in the shots that they play and the pitch shots that they play, and their high intelligence of the actual playing of the game of golf. It's really, really fun to watch.
You know, a female competitor that has a great feel for the game, as you're talking about, was Amy Olson. And you just have to wonder, you know, she tied for second at the U.S. Women's Open, just what the future holds for her, because this has got to inoculate her with a lot of confidence. Just that inner fortitude that she showed, too, because she had to, you know, power through a very difficult weekend emotionally.
Oh, crazy. Just what a story Amy Olson, you know, is and will be. It's just amazing to me that she has not won on the LPGA Tour yet. She's, you know, a prolific winner in college, but just hasn't, you know, gotten over that little hurdle of finishing out events. But the fortitude that she showed, and the class that she did it with, and the shots that she hit, the circumstances she was playing under, I think that she learned a lot about herself through the weekend, and can take that, you know, hopefully into the future and win. And once she wins, she might, hear of her winning every single week. She's got that beautiful golf swing. She's got plenty of length. Looks like she really doesn't have any holes in her game. And to do it, you know, under those circumstances with what she was going through, I think she can look at herself in the mirror and say, you know what, I learned a lot about myself. And, you know, putting herself in positions like that. I can tell you how to win. I can tell you how to lose. I've done them both a lot. And I think that she now is at that point where she has gotten so close on so many occasions that now she's got it all. Now she knows what she can do, and she can really looked at the last week and on how she performed in those circumstances, and take that as a great experience the next time that she's in that in that position.
Mm-hmm. And close out. Hey, we're so glad you're with us on this Saturday morning. Sports Map Radio Network, sportsmapradio.com. I am your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell. You've just dialed into the Big E Sports Show. You bet. We pride ourselves on delivering the biggest and the best. And guess what? 11-time winner on the PGA Tour. He's an analyst on the Golf Channel. We love him. And that is John Cook, who is our very special guest. And it is interesting when we talk about the LPGA, you use the word motivation. I mean, the growth of the women's game, there is a lot of motivation to want to close out and win, because A. Lim Kim, I mean, she won $1 million. I mean, that's a huge purse. I mean, have we ever seen this before on the women's side, in the women's game? I mean, do the guys, they probably take that for granted, right? Or, I mean, this is so cool.
Hey, pretty much. I wish it was all retroactive, you know, from way back when.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But it's not.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, it's great to see the ladies playing, big events. With big purses, because they deserve it. They travel just as much as the men do. They travel, you know, all over the world to play in events. It's really nice to see that, you know, they're starting to reap the benefits of where they are in the game. And it's great to see. And Aylin Kim, she was, I mean, you know, coming from where she did and shooting a score that she did in really, really tough conditions, and her first trip to America, actually, and to do it. But you're right about, it's a worldwide game on the LPGA Tour. The sponsors, they have great sponsors. Mike Wan has done a wonderful job with the LPGA in promoting and getting the ladies' names out there and, getting that LPGA Tour to where it should be. And that's, it's a great entertainment. And, corporate sponsors love that. And I think that it's just going to keep growing and growing.
The U.S. Women's Open, they certainly had to face a unique winter challenge. Of course, they played on two courses. But I'm just curious. I mean, you've had sustained success on the PGA Tour, 11-time winner. How did you prepare yourself mentally, when you had to play in those cooler temperatures? I mean, what did you do, John?
I was born in Ohio, but I was, raised in California.
Yeah.
And then went back to school at Ohio State.
That's
so
right.
I kind of... we definitely had some trying conditions in those fall qualifiers there.
Oh, I bet.
So I had to learn how to do that instead of playing playing dome golf in California. I start playing in cold weather and high wind and occasional freezing rain and occasional little snow flurries every once in a while. So it's just something that you learn and you get comfortable with it and you understand where the ball is going and how far it's flying or how far it's not flying, actually. And I kind of challenged myself to get better in those conditions, and that was one of the reasons I did go back to Ohio State from California. If I was going to have any aspirations of playing the tour, I'm going to have to play in all kinds of weather, and that got me prepared. So you just learn about the elements and the conditions and again, it's trying to be comfortable and confident in those conditions. And I embrace the challenge, and I embrace the challenges of being, in the hunt, in winning golf tournaments. And like I said, I won a lot, but there's plenty that I didn't win. And those were just as valuable lessons as winning, is trying to figure out what went right, what went wrong. But when you have conditions like that, it's just tough, but you have to welcome and challenge yourself to enjoy the conditions and accept the conditions.
You're a Buckeye. You know how to get comfortable in an uncomfortable situation, right, John?
There you go.
Okay.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. Hey, an 11-time winner on the PGA Tour. We are short on time, but what a great way to kick off Hour 1 Sports Map Radio Network. Check him out. He's an analyst on the Golf Channel, and that is the great John Cook. Thank you so much. What an honor to have you on the program.
And Lisa, thank you so much for having me anytime. I enjoyed it, and good luck to you.
Yes, sir. Much more coming your way here at Sports Map Radio Network, the fastest 2 hours in radio, the Big E Sports Show. We will be right back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, happy holidays. Welcome back to Sports Map Radio Network and the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Love to hear from you on Twitter, always live, at eRadio Sports Info, at eradiosports.com, podcastarena.com. And are your wiper blades, are they chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't compromise your visibility with streaks or smearing on your windows. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and see their selection. The professional parts people will help you find just the right wiper blades for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. As promised, it is time for some NFL news and notes. Week 15. I mean, can you believe only 3 weeks left in the NFL regular season? We're getting down to crunch time. Every game is meaningful. And in our next segment, we're going to highlight a number of teams and delighted to have with us for the very first time from the Washington Post. And that is Matt Bonesteel. Good morning, Matt.
Hi, thanks for having me.
All righty, the season, it is winding down. There's a lot of compelling storylines for Sunday. So who or what are some of the matchups that you have your eyes on this weekend?
Well, I think the biggest game, obviously, is the Chiefs-Saints game. It's really rare that you see such teams with such great records playing so late in the season, these teams have combined for a 846 winning percentage, which is, you know, for this late in the season, you rarely see that. You've only seen that high, you know, something like three times in the past 30, 40 years. So it's a pretty great matchup. It'd be better if Drew Brees is back, but we don't know quite yet if that's going to happen. But we will wait and see if he can come back from all those bruised ribs or fractured ribs.
Okay, so it is wait and see at this point, but since you bring up the Saints and you're talking about the Chiefs, how about the Eagles and them coming away with a win last week, and they end the Saints' 9-game win streak? What did you see from Jalen Hurts?
Yeah, he did. He started off really well, and I think he threw some looks that obviously Carson Wentz cannot give opposing defenses. So I think the Saints weren't necessarily prepared, but they didn't have any film to watch. And I think when you get a quarterback who's, you know, Hurts was drafted pretty high, so it's not like he's some scrub. And when you get a quarterback with some talent you don't have any film to prepare on, I think that's going to give defenses a lot of trouble. And I think that's what happened, especially early on Sunday against the Saints. New Orleans didn't really know what they were doing, and it was another pretty bad performance. I mean, I wouldn't say bad. It was a mediocre performance from Taysom Hill for the Saints. So I think, you know, that's another reason the New Orleans wants to see Brees come back as soon as he can.
You're listening to the voice from the Washington Post. That is Matt Bonestell, who is with us at Sports Map Radio Network and the Big East Sports Show. Just curious, let's talk some more about the Eagles. I mean, do you think Jalen Hurts is going to be the answer and he's the future going forward when we talk about Philadelphia?
I don't know. I think Carson Wentz, he needs a lot of sort of prerequisites to survive or to thrive in the NFL. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. You know, he needs a strong offensive line, and he needs some weapons to throw to and a strong running game. And I'm not sure that the Eagles have any of that right now. So I'm not sure how much of this is Carson Wentz's fault. There is the matter of his contract, which is going to make it hard to move on from him. But it will be interesting to see. I mean, there's nothing, you know, Eagles fans love quarterback controversies, and it appears they're going to have at least a minor one. It's not like the Eagles are going to go too far this season in the playoffs, if they even get that far. But it will be interesting to see how the team handles it moving forward.
Well, one thing that Sooner fans are looking forward to is how about the matchup this weekend with Oklahoma quarterbacks when we talk about Jalen Hurts and Kyler Murray. Eagles facing the Cardinals. They're headed out west. How do you see this game playing out? I mean, it's going to be pretty cool, right?
Yeah, I think the Cardinals sort of get back on track. And I think now that – I think even one game of film is going to give the Cardinals defense a little more of an edge than the Saints had. And, you know, the Cardinals are coming off. They were sliding for a little bit, and they sort of rebounded. I mean, it's not like they beat a strong team in the Giants last weekend, but they pretty much dominated the Giants that weekend. And if you think the Giants probably are probably on the same level as the Eagles in that mediocre NFC East. So, you know, Kyler Murray had a efficient game. He threw for 244 yards and a touchdown and didn't throw an interception and kept the offense moving, spread the ball around. So I think this is going to be actually a much – strange to say because the Saints are probably a better team than the Cardinals, but I think this is going to be a tougher test for the Eagles this time around just because there's a little bit more known information about Jalen Hurts this time.
Okay, we're talking about former Oklahoma quarterbacks. Let's cross over and let's talk about the Browns. What about Baker Mayfield? What do you think, Matt, that we have learned from him this year? Because I think he's silenced a lot of negativity and a lot of folks that he was not worthy of being that number one draft pick.
Yeah, you know, he's played pretty well. You know, he provides that team a spark, and that game Monday night was just outstanding on both sides. And, you know, and Baker, he threw for 343 yards. I mean, he's having a good season. And
yeah.
But, you know, it's at the same time that the defense, I think, is more of a problem for Cleveland than Baker Mayfield is for Cleveland right now, just because they were able to keep scores down. But a lot of those games were really weather affected in Cleveland, you know, with the wind, especially off the lake there. So we'll see. You know, it's weird talking about the Browns as a playoff contender here.
Yeah.
In December, usually
right.
That all talk of that ends, you know, around the middle of September. But Here we are, and the, you know, the Browns are in really good shape for a playoff.
You know, I'm just curious. I mean, when we talk about Cleveland and Baker Mayfield, I mean, do you think long term, should they give him a big extension? Is he worth it? And also talk a little bit about, as far as, you know, where has he improved the most this year? What have you seen?
I just think it's just, I mean, they've given him so many weapons around him, especially at wide receiver. And I know Odell Beckham is out, but he still has, you know, they have that 1-2 punch at running back, which takes a lot of heat off him. And then you got one of those running backs being Kareem Hunt, who can catch a lot of balls out of the backfield. So, you know, having that as your safety net is just a great thing to have. And, you know, he just seems to be has a better grasp on everything. And whether they give him a contract or not, I think every time a team has to go into this thinking, you know, who are we going to get that's better? And if there's really no better option, then we probably should just pay the quarterback, because, you know, that's the position. If you're going to pay one position, you know, that's probably going to be it in the NFL.
Well, good news for Browns fans, because they're playing their best football that we have seen in, what, about 10 years. So, you know, you had highlighted the showdown between Lamar and Baker on Monday night. Of course, the Ravens, they prevailed 47-42. Overall, I mean, what do you think? We talk about another quarterback, Lamar Jackson. I mean, how far can he take the Ravens? I mean, are they going to go on a deep postseason run?
They've been playing better. And I think, you know, once they've gotten their COVID issues behind them, and they'll appear this week, they have some more with Hollywood Brown in the COVID protocol again. So now they're starting to come back again. But I think once, if this team is fully healthy and fully prepared and they get a, you know, full week of practice, I think they could be as good as anyone. Lamar, you know, as he showed Monday night, you know, he's going to run. He can run all over the place if you let him. And that's a huge asset to have, you know, when you're a quarterback. But, you know, it does not seem he's, like, progressing all that great as a passer. But his legs, you know, obviously make up a lot of those problems. You know, we'll see. It's just been a weird year for the Ravens as much as anyone, just because of their coronavirus issues. And you know, their schedule going at the end of the season is real easy, which gives them a good chance to make the playoffs. And after that, you know, it's, you know, one and done, so anybody could win, and that puts them in pretty good shape.
It'll be fascinating to see how this game plays out on Sunday when we talk about the Ravens and the Giants. And speaking of COVID-19 and all the issues, what about on Thursday, the news that came out that the Giants offensive coordinator, Jason Garrett, he tested positive. And I just have to wonder, I mean, Matt, how much of an impact will that have? I understand what Freddie Kitchens, he's going to be one calling the plays on Sunday.
It's this late in the week, you know, I would think they've installed their game plan. And I think, you know, the offensive players by now hopefully know, you know, what they're supposed to be doing and know the play calls and that sort of thing. And one would think Freddie Kitchens, who has been a head coach, I mean, he wasn't a particularly good head coach, but mm-hmm. he's been a head coach.
Hey, we are winding down our time. Washington Post, our very special guest, Matt Bonesteel, is with us. Hey, Matt, quickly, we're going to pause. I mean, connect with our audience. Where can they find some of your articles online and also on Twitter?
My Twitter is at Matt Bonesteel, all one word. And then you can find my articles at WashingtonPost.com/sports.
Okay, you're a Washington guy, so you got to give us a quick hit on the Washington football team. And they face the Seahawks on Sunday. That's going to be a daunting task. So what, they're currently 6-7.
I think it all depends on how healthy Alex Smith is. And even though he has not been lights out by any means, he's been a steadying presence on that offense. And he gives them just a presence that I don't think Dwayne Haskins has. So we'll see. Antonio Gibson also was hurt, and without Smith and Gibson, it's going to be a tall task against keeping up with that Seattle offense, even though Washington's defense has been pretty good this year. I will say that, you know, this is the most people have been talking about this team, I think, in at least in Washington in years, because, you know, they've just been so bad for such a long time that it's pretty interesting to see this team actually generating some excitement in December.
Uh-huh. Hey, it is week 15 of the NFL season. I cannot believe it. 3 weeks left in the regular season.
Yep.
Our very special guest has been Matt Bonesteel from the Washington Post. Check all of his articles, all of his information out online. Thank you so much, Matt. Happy holidays to you and your family.
Thanks. You as well.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way here in Hour 1 at Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. We will be right back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back on this Saturday morning, Sports Map Radio Network and the Big E Sports Show. Many different ways to connect. We always love to hear from our listeners. You can join us at Twitter, where we are live at eRadio Sports. You can email the show at info@eradiosports.com, podcastarena.com. And as always, at O'Reilly Auto Parts, you are guaranteed to get the everyday low price on the parts that you need. O'Reilly Auto Parts will match any local auto parts store price on any like item. O'Reilly Auto Parts has the parts you need at the guaranteed lowest prices. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Well, as promised, it is now time to get you ready for the SEC Championship. Alabama, Florida. They are in Atlanta, Georgia tonight at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Kickoff set for 8 o'clock Eastern time. And always a true pleasure to welcome in legendary sports writer and journalist. Check him out, GatorBaitMedia.com. That is the great Buddy Martin. Good morning, Buddy.
So good to talk to you again, Alyssa, and I have to come back here more often. I get nice words like that. I don't get them very often. So,
oh, it's a true pleasure to have you on the program. It's been way too long. I was telling you off air that we really missed you, and we want you to help us get ready for the big game tonight. Now, Alabama, as I understand, they're like 16.5-point favorite in this SEC championship against Florida. What are some of your thoughts as we preview tonight's game?
Well, my first thought is, look out. Here's the Crimson Tide. And they are a juggernaut offensively, and one that doesn't match up too well for the Florida Gators on a defense that has been spotty this year. At times, okay, they seem to have gotten a little better the last two or three games, but the very thing that Alabama does so well with a terrific quarterback they've got in Mac Jones and a wide receiver, Donta Smith, is they throw the ball well and throw it long. And then they've got Najee Harris, who's a heck of a running back. So you've got three guys who could be, all three could be Heisman contenders. And these guys are great as 16.5-point favorites, as you say. And Florida, of course, just coming off a game, a drastic loss to a team that was a 23.5-point underdog in LSU. And by now, maybe you heard about the shoe game.
Mm-hmm.
The cornerback from Florida, Marco Wilson, picked up a shoe, size 14 Nike, and threw it 20 yards after a play, one of the few stops that they had made all night, and immediately got a penalty and gave him a fresh set of downs, and Alabama milked it in and wound up winning by a field goal. So not a very good performance by the number 16 in the nation then, now dropped only to number 7, which surprised a lot of us. What to expect is a lot of Alabama offense. By the same token, Florida does have a powerful offense. So the question is, will that offense be unleashed by the Gators? And if so, will it be one of those 42-41 games?
Hey, we're getting ready for the SEC Championship. Alabama, Florida, and our very special guest. He's an Emmy Award-winning producer, radio host of the Buddy Martin Show, and that is Buddy Martin. So let's talk some X's and O's. I mean, how will Dan Mullen attack a much-improved Alabama defense? I mean, they have so many great athletes all around.
Yes, they do. And I think when you look at, I just wrote a piece for Gator Bay, it seems like the stars always fell on Alabama, and I mean that in both ways. The song, of course, and then the 5 stars that they have. Alabama's got tons of them, and they are the standard right now. Defensively, they're like a lot of other teams, this has not been a great year for defense, even in the SEC. Offensively, they're very powerful, and I think the thing is the talent level is such is that I see they're already, after the first day of signing, leading the nation again in recruiting. And so the old cliche is true of Nick Saban. He doesn't rebuild it. He just reloads. And I think this team is, I think defensively they struggle a little bit early on in the year, but I think they've got the answer now and we'll see. But by the same token, Florida's offense is no walk in the park. Kyle Trask is a guy who probably had one hand on the Heisman last week and at very least was a co-favorite, according to Vegas, everybody else. And he has got an ability to distribute the ball from your neck of the woods down there, Manville High School, of course, and a guy who came out of nowhere as a no-star to a guy who is in hot contention for the highest honor in the land for college football. That would be, of course, the Heisman Trophy. So we're not really sure how Florida will recover after such a debilitating loss. It was one of the worst losses in Florida football history. And whether or not Alabama, you know, sometimes you play better as an underdog, we'll see. But right now, it doesn't look real great for the Florida Gators.
Hey, we are talking about the Florida Gators, getting you ready for the big game tonight in the SEC Championship. Let's talk about third-year head coach Dan Mullen, just his overall philosophy. I mean, give us an assessment, buddy, of the job that he has done.
Well, it took me a little while. As I said the other day, it took me three games to understand Urban Meyer and say I'm all in on Urban Meyer in his first year. It's taken me 3 years to say that about Dan Mullen. He's a really great play caller. He knows what he wants to do. He's very well organized. He's got a top-notch physical health and physical and education and strength and conditioning and all that. And by the way, Florida very lucky to be right there on campus with a major health facility, mm-hmm. one of the best hospitals anywhere. In Shands at the University of Florida, right, I mean, literally across the street, which in these times is very important. So Dan has benefited from a lot of that. He's got the head ball coach sitting down the hall. If he needs to talk to Steve Spurrier, he's got him there. He's probably maybe needs to turn it up a notch in recruiting. Everybody wants him to get more 4 and 5 stars. But Mullen compensates by getting a lot of good players out of the transfer portal. And he's kind of mastered that. He's gotten some really, really good players out of the portal. They've worked out really well. And so his only problem he's got right now, I think, not only, but the major one, is how to fix that defense and how to get the back end, the safety play better. They got Todd Grantham, who I think is a very good coordinator, but very controversial because the fans want him to see him. He's called, in Georgia, when he's a coach there, he's called third and Grantham. Mm-hmm. We give up a lot of third downs, and sometimes that happens to him here. So anyway, Dan Mullen, I think, is really one of the best coaches. He's an emerging coach, a guy who worked for his boss was Urban Meyer. I talked to Urban today, and we talked about Dan. Dan was always the feisty guy when he called plays with Urban. So Dan's got the play calling. He knows what he wants. He has a vision. And by the way, he's got a pretty darn good record after 3 years. And now people say, can you beat Georgia? Well, they beat Georgia this year.
Uh-huh.
Well, can you get to the SEC championship game? They got to the SEC championship game. They dropped 2 games this year. Some people thought they should drop 1. But now he's got a chance to go in. If he can pull it off tonight and win this game, he's back in the playoffs. Because if you beat Alabama, it depends on what happens to the other game, Notre Dame, Clemson. But this team has a chance still to fulfill the destiny it wanted.
Give him a follow on Twitter, @BuddyShow. We are talking to Buddy Martin, legendary sports writer and journalist. We have previewed tonight's game between Alabama and Florida. You were talking about recruiting. Of course, the biggest day in college football, recruiting earlier this week, early signing day, national signing day for the class of 2021. Let's reflect on third-year coach Dan Mullen. He turned in another impressive recruiting class. What, it was in the top 10. Who was that prized recruit and some of your takeaways?
Well, I haven't followed recruiting that well. I know that they've got a guy at a junior college that they had signed previously, one of the top linebackers in DeJuan Black, and he was a guy they had. And I really haven't followed it. They've got more 4 and 5 star, got more 4 stars than usual. But some of the really good players that they're going to get had to not commit. The reason I know that is a couple of them are right here in my town of Ocala, and one of them is Trevon Rucker, and he is a guy who's a wide receiver. At one time, a 5-star, I think, but he's not committed yet, although we think he will. And they've got another defensive lineman from here, the same high school, who's first grade. But they've got some more to come in. They did okay, I think. Mm-hmm. Again, I can't assess it because I haven't followed recruiting at all this year. And what I'm hearing from my people where I work with at Gator Bay is they did okay. I think they were ranked 7th in the country at this point, whatever that means. And so they're doing okay. Not going to ever get up there at the level with Alabama, but Mullen's big mantra is, you know, they like to say, bring in a 3-star and making him a 5. Mullen doesn't say that, but that's what people say. And his strength is development. He doesn't really worry about the stars that much, and he would take the five stars. He's got a couple on his squad. He got well transferred, by the way, they transferred in. But the bottom line is that he wants to train them the way he wants to have them play, and that's what he's done with his quarterback. That's what he's doing with a lot of his key players. The wide receivers have been terrific. Kyle Pitts is as good as I ever saw as a tight end receiver. I think recruiting is key, but I have a long-standing rules, Melissa. I don't make a judgment on a player until I see him in uniform on the field. Mm-hmm. Then I can figure out. I don't really care about the stars too much. I know if you get a five-star, that's a good thing. But I think Mullen's with me on that. That's just to see him on the hoof, how they perform. But I think he'll be just fine. He'll figure top 10, they don't need to recruit quarterbacks this year. They got a couple already committed. Those are the ones that committed. So nothing really surprising that I saw. Pretty much standard.
You said you don't follow college recruiting that closely, but what do you think are some of the challenges of recruiting during a pandemic for the class of 2021? I mean, this has been a very unusual year.
Well, first of all, you don't get to visit. They cut out some of the visits, which is a disadvantage for all parties. And the second thing is, how do you know what's going to happen with the team you're going to? Because anybody who wants to stay an extra year this year can't.
That's right.
So you thought you were a prize recruit and you're a wide receiver and you went to a school that's got six players that should be gone and they're not. And so you're going to come into a school and say, wait a minute, I don't know if I'd be committing that soon. I've been waiting to see what's going to happen because it's all changed. So there are some complicated scenarios there about that. And the bottom line is we just don't know about anything in this pandemic. And Dan Mullen likes to say, this is taking hour by hour, day by day. Used to be game by game, but now it's even beyond that. It's gotten to be his. I had a discussion with Dan the other day about his theory about, this is how are you going to do against Alabama? I don't know. I want to have a good practice today. That's his theory. That's why. He literally means that. And I said something to him. I said, well, that sounds like you're kind of an incrementalist. You deal in incrementalists. He said, that's too big a word for me. He said, okay. So it's very much in the minute, in the moment. And that's how he's coaching. Remember, he had 35 guys out with COVID not 2 months ago. So the good news, I guess, is they had it early. I don't know. But they had no cases this month. And you can do everything right. You can get it all done right. And you can do a great job of coaching. Then be knocked out by COVID and ruin your season, as we've seen. So it's going to be someone said, well, you know what? They should put an asterisk by this year. No, they should put two by it, because if you win this year, you've done something really exceptional.
Hey, we're getting you ready for the SEC Championship, Alabama, Florida, with Buddy Martin. We're going to step aside for a quick commercial break. We will be right back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour one, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. We're going to continue to break it all down as we get you ready for the SEC Championship, Alabama, Florida, with Buddy Martin. Hey, we are wrapping up our time. Buddy Martin has been our very special guest, legendary sports writer and journalist. Check him out, GatorBaitMedia.com. Connect with our listeners and our audience, Buddy. When they click on that website, what are they going to find? And also, tell us about this very special podcast. You have just teamed up with your longtime friend, and that, of course, is the great coach in Urban Meyer.
Well, a couple of things. First of all, it's a paid website, just so people know. I want to know. It's all, if you like the Gators, you care about the Gators, you just about got to have it. If you're not interested in the Gators, don't sign up for it. And you have a variety of prices on that. But we also do a live show every single night, which is free, on Facebook Live. We started doing it 3 years ago.
Okay,
before
nice.
Facebook Live was that popular. And we have a fairly large crowd of people who follow us at 9 o'clock Monday through Thursday. If you like talking college football, that's what we do. And then we have the podcast, which is now anywhere you get your podcast, but it's really carried by Evergreen Podcast out of Cleveland, and we're on iTunes and Spotify and all those places. And by the way, the name is Best Fridays in football.
Love it.
It's Fridays. Best Fridays in football, if you Google it, and that's because there was a name he took from Urban's vernacular when he always had his parties on Fridays, and he went to the hotels and gave the kids ice cream and cake and, you know, let them just eat their hearts out on Fridays and watch movies. And we talked about writing the book, and I writing the book, and he says, let's do a podcast. I said, okay. So we started doing a podcast, and it's along with other people on. There are other people featured on it later on. Terry Bradshaw's there, occasionally Steve Spurrier, and different people. But the star leadoff guy is Urban Meyer. He is a very, very analytical mind. I just finished doing this one this week, and we discussed the problems with the college football committee, and then the lack of transparency and the things going on there. He's really riled up about it. He didn't think that they had, really, he didn't say it. He didn't think they're competent at what they do.
He is simply the best. Buddy Martin, give him a follow on Twitter, at Buddy Show. Also, GatorBaitMedia.com. They've got some great articles, all kinds of wonderful information on there that you can check out. And, of course, he is the host of the Buddy Martin Show. A true pleasure. Listen, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and continued success. I thought you were nearing retirement, but you're going strong, buddy.
I have no idea what that is. I don't know.
Oh,
hey. I don't have a finished plan in my house. I don't know. So, but this is so.